Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is OMF on EEI.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Mo. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All
right.
We're talking rainforest sweaty.
Let's fill that bathtub full of sweat.
We're talking not wearing any underwear in the middle of the summer sweaty. Do you feel like you get more sweaty going underwear less or with underwear? What do you think makes you more sweaty?
With the sweat,
I would say the other way.
When you go commando,
there's
the swass on commando.
Yeah, because there's nothing to absorb it. Like, where is it going? It's just kind of festering in the deep crevices of your lower region.
Wow, that got super detail-oriented.
Right?
Yeah.
I had this discussion with my wife. I was like, no. Underwear, like, no. It's definitely more smelly and stanky without underwear.
You really talk about swass with Mrs.
Yes,
Fourier?
Yes, of course.
You're kidding.
There's nothing.
It's the last thing my wife ever wants to talk about.
Really?
Swass? No way! No,
so typical.
I want to know about all the smelly
regions. She wants that. Like, it doesn't happen. First of all, and squeegeed away. No.
I think you want to know. Like, all my shorts now have a built-in liner. I don't even wear underwear anymore. A built-in liner all the way.
One of the great inventions in the last 10 years, or rather, one of the great things that people buy, specifically Instagram. Nope, I know it. Hey, I saw that. Okay. Hey, Twitch, I saw it.
No, they're so comfortable.
I'm not sure if I'm ever going to recover from Fourier standing up, pulling him up, and saying, "Hey, you want to see?" No, the bird dogs and the whole idea of like putting the liner in, genius idea. Why do I need? I don't want to have to put on a second pair. You just go to that right there, wicks it right away.
All right, let me keep this going. We're talking United States men's basketball, how much they suck and what their issues are. But I feel like I mentioned this this NBA superstar. I feel like we should really be doing like a mystery guest. Although I don't think it'll be a mystery about who this person, who this superstar NBA basketball player is.
Mystery target.
Who is reported to want to play for the Celtics. He wants to be traded to the Celtics.
Who can it be now?
We're going to do that. Thank you, Kay. Let's go to John in Maine real quick. John, what's up? You're on with
the
Effers.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
John
up?
A.
Last thing I wanted to find out was about your undercarriage. I'll tell you that.
I
right
know.
Now.
But I feel like the more I can give the audience, like the better we all are for it.
I feel like my soul
get
just stared
shorts
at Medusa.
With a liner. Get no. shorts. Yeah, forget yeah. about underwear. Get shorts with a liner built in.
Yeah, at least it's not Ordway talking about his bloomers.
Okay, what's up, John?
I just think that in relation to the way they're playing is, you know, you saw this in the NBA with the Nets, with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, they were obviously the most talented team, but when you watch them play, they played the same style that the USA is playing with, which is just, you know, individual, dribble, ISO, shoot, a desperation three, and it's like you're watching, you know, an NBA game where you've got a bunch of superstars and everybody else is just kind of standing on a three-point line watching the game. I just think that team effort has gone away, and I don't think these guys really know how to play a team game.
You know,
I really don't.
John, it's funny you bring that up because when the Nets really were, like, when they were really laying it to the Celtics back in the first round when they beat them 4-1. Do you remember there was one game the Celtics got a quick lead, and all of a sudden the Nets decided to get this, Christian, pass the ball a ton, and I think it's Joe Harris, Tyler, the three-point shooter?
Correct.
Yes, they dished the ball. They had the Celtics' head spinning, and they just kept getting him open, and he was in a rhythm, and he kept burying threes. And I was like, wow, the Nets are going to win the championship because they can always rely on NBA-style star ball, but if they get these guys going two off the bench, they'll be lethal because they can play every kind of basketball. We're seeing, I appreciate the call, Dan, that we're seeing none of that now, Christian.
So I do think that there has got to be a reason for such a talented team to be so dysfunctional. There's got to be something wrong. So Joe Vardon from The Athletic, if you remember last week, he was the guy that was kept peppering Popovich with questions, and Popovich was not happy with the mannerisms and the way and the tone that was directed at him after they lost the game in Vegas. So he says that the players are frustrated. He says, grumbling on their way back to the locker room about running the San Antonio offense. He says, when apparently they feel like there are better ideas. He says, Pop has said because of the truncated nature of Team USA's training camp, the offense would be based on concepts instead of set plays.
Okay, so basically he's making what should be theoretically the right decision. Like, guys, we're going to run some general concepts out there on
Isn't
the floor.
Isn't that vague?
Yeah, it is to a degree.
I'm gonna run this team based on theories. They may or may not be correct. It cannot be vague like that.
They're not buying
into it. They're not being directed correctly. Like, it's almost like he has so much respect for them that he's not willing to really demand them play a certain way. I get it. You play this way on your own team. You play this way during an all-star game. Now it's the Olympics. We all have to play one way. So I can't give you a vague term or vague directions. Like, let's just think of it as a concept, not really a demand or a way of life. It's just a concept. You know, you do, maybe you do it, maybe you don't. It's just, I'm just saying, it's a suggestion. Why don't you say that? It's a suggestion.
How about you say, tell you what, why don't we send these guys home and find me a couple of guys who are going to buy into the fact that I've been a successful coach for almost 3 decades now in the NBA. And conceptually, I can draw up plays, but also get people to buy into a system that has made me successful. And yes, I understand you can say, like, well, so David Robinson and Tim Duncan and Kawhi and, you know, all the great talents that we had coming through San Antonio is the reason why. I'm not getting into the Brady versus Belichick argument with the talent they've had in San Antonio versus Popovich. The guy knows what he's doing. Okay, these guys want them to. Yes, he does. These guys want him to run set plays for them, and they're not buying into. They're not taking the time to buy into his concept of basketball and the way it should be played. Because if they did, then maybe they would be able to, with their incredible NBA talents, buy into trying to play the FIBA style of game, Christian, as opposed to, like, I'll just do my thing, and we're just so good at it, we're gonna beat everybody, and everybody should be afraid of us. Right now, Sure, they're going to beat Iran, but do you not think that
they need to pile on the points with Iran because they're going to need that to help them.
Yeah.
So one more call before I reveal the mystery guest of the NBA superstar who is reportedly wants to play for the Celtics. Let's go to Devin in New Hampshire before we do that. What's up, Devin?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Oh, real quick before I make a point, if you're still looking to fill Glenn's spot, I think Mutt did a great job the other day. Fitzy, no offense.
No, listen, I'm just pinch hitting. Mutt was great.
Let's keep it in-house, you know, and give him the nod for the midday. But, you know, as far as the USA basketball thing goes, I'm curious your thoughts on this. Not a diehard NBA guy, but I feel like the problem is the pool of players that we're picking from to represent the country, being from the NBA. I mean, those guys, the skill level has never been higher in the NBA, and yet to me it has never been less fun to watch as far as competitive storylines. And guys actually create the super team to me is not fun anymore. So I'm curious your thoughts on I guess the present day NBA player and how we can, you know, what can happen to get that going better. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
I appreciate the fact that you shouted out Mutt. I thought he did a great job last week.
But nobody pushes Mutt to the front of the line more than you do.
I think he does a great job. I think Mutt does a terrific job.
Go to the Crack Shack. Tell him Mutt sent you.
Mutt is underappreciated here. Can do everything and does it well. Now, to to Devin's point about Team USA being like the NBA being not fun to watch. Couldn't agree with him more. I know this is the way the game has changed. I've argued with Megan Ottolini on the Saturday afternoon Fitzy and Mego show time and again. I hate this style of basketball. I think it's boring as hell. It's being exposed. You're not only seeing a bunch of overpaid stars that are either tired or don't care and aren't showing national pride being exposed. You're looking at our style of basketball right now being exposed, Christian. I couldn't agree more. I think it's an absolute snooze fest. And why I thought it was so great that Milwaukee won last week and they won the way they did, that was team basketball. I know Giannis is the biggest star. I know he put in 50 points in game six. But they play like a team. When he's doubled down low, gets it out to Jrue Holiday or especially to your boy Chris Middleton there, boom, big shot. It was inside, it was out. They play good defense, they hustle. And yes, they had a giant post presence who hit his free throws as well. They played like a team. They weren't a super team. It wasn't just a collection of stars. And that's what these guys are playing like, 12 stars. Is this the 12 COVID meals and 12 Ubers home kind of team? Looks like it to me.
12 Ubers? What?
You know, there's no unity. They're not all hanging out together. It's like they finish up, they take, you know, they shower up, and they all just go back to their respective places, get a, you know, have some sake and some udon noodles and some good sushi and call it a night. I love udon noodles.
I don't even know what an udon noodle is.
Really big, fat rice noodles.
Okay, so do you want to know who the mystery superstar player is?
The mystery superstar player?
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
And I think you'll probably get it.
Who is that?
Okay.
Who are you?
Who can it be?
You know that show?
Who the hell are you?
You know that show, what is it, Name That Song or whatever? Is that
name
you
that.
Love games. You know, you love game shows.
I love
game shows. Where he said, I can name that tune in, you know, two notes and
okay.
Whatever. It goes back and back.
Okay, is it the masked hoopster?
No. I believe that you can name this superstar that, considering requesting possibly a trade to the Celtics with one hint.
All right, one hint.
Jason Tatum's best friend.
Deuce?
Not his son.
Oh, shoot.
No, it can't be a kid. Jason Tatum's best friend is...
Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal, ding, ding,
okay,
ding.
Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
Wait, the oft-discussed Bradley Beal, who one of many Celtic fans want to see on the team because they hear Jason Tatum, they see that he puts up lots of points, and Jason Tatum and he are buddies? He wants to come to the Celtics?
Yeah, this is from Jake Fisher from Bleacher Report on Bradley Beal. He says, with a 2021 NBA draft fast approaching, word has reached front offices around the league that Wizards all-star guard Bradley Beal is considering requesting a trade prior to Thursday night's draft. You believe that?
Considering requesting
a trade? So Bradley Beal hasn't even actually... You know, announced that he is requesting a trade. He's not come out on his own and said, like, Deshaun Watson, I want to be traded. Aaron Rodgers, I'm really upset. I feel like Bradley Beal likes Washington. I have never heard anything other than, you know, about him wanting to, you know, stay there, have a team built around him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so do you believe that?
I do believe it. I'll buy it. I'd say it's a big deal. Favorite segment here on
this
the program.
One of my favorites.
One of the favorites. I would say it's a big deal, and I do buy it, not just because he wants to go play with his buddy Tatum, but because maybe he feels like he'll never be able to, as long as Russell Westbrook is in Washington, he won't be able to be the guy. Now, granted, there's already two stars in place and entrenched in Boston, but that'll give him a much better chance to win than Mr. Triple-Double himself.
Let me ask you
this. They were a surprisingly competitive team last year,
too. Let me ask you this. Okay.
Go ahead.
So, I think this is a big mistake. And Jason Tatum should not co-sign it. He shouldn't like tweets that represent or that say that Bradley Beal is coming to the Celtics or that he wants to be traded to the Celtics. Because if you're Jaylen Brown and you hear that Bradley Beal wants to be traded to the Celtics, you already know that Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that Jason Tatum is actively liking tweets, announcing to everyone that he would love to play with Bradley Beal, knowing that the only way that happens is if Jaylen Brown is part of that deal.
Is he going to have to be?
I don't think it works without him, because there's other teams that have, like Golden State, Miami, Philadelphia, other teams that have probably more to offer than you.
Yeah, you have so little to offer the Celtics after having like the just treasure trove of picks for years and years and years during the Ainge years. They just gave one away to get rid of a contract. So
I want to get into this more, because I feel like this is a bad idea. They should not be doing it. They should just dance with the one that brought you. Dance with that person.
To what? First round elimination?
Whatever. No. You build around the guys that are on the team. We're going to get that next. But we're going to sell some soap. And then we're going to trend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
See, I think the damage is already done, Fitzy, when it comes to the relationship of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Because the rumors are always going to point to the Celtics. Here's another one. Jason Dumas, who is the sports director from San Francisco, he says, source, if Brad Beal does in fact move forward and request the trade, and remember, he hasn't publicly requested a trade yet. These are a lot of rumors and a lot of people think that he has to get this done before the draft in order for any team that does trade for him to be able to use those picks. Boston would be preferred destination to play with longtime friend Jason Tatum and compete for a championship.
Damage is done, my friend.
That's right. The damage is done, my friend. So if he does indeed request a trade and he'd like to play with his buddy Jason Tatum, he's kind of an older brother too. Okay, great. You want to make your way up to, you want to ship up to Boston, form a little semi-super team up this way. Jaylen Brown may have to be part of the package, but okay, now you got your guys together. They're happy. They start recruiting people going forward. Going to have to pay him, A, ton of money with all this money they're trying to come up with as they clear space this year. B, may not be your choice because a team like Golden State, who would arguably want Damian Lillard like any team would if there are, in fact, Damian Lillard sweepstakes, Bradley Beal might get shipped out to Golden State because they probably could offer a much more enticing package. Golden State, they can get Lillard, they could get Beal, they could get just about anybody. They have assets, they have picks. The Celtics don't have many picks after all these years of all these picks, and Danny's hoarding firsts and firsts and firsts, and my God, how did Trader Danny do it? Like I was saying before the break, at this point now, not only do they not have picks, they were so desperate to get rid of some of the bad contracts Danny Ainge signed towards the end that they shipped out picks to get rid of Kemba Walker.
Well, see, it may not even matter. I think the damage.
When the sun crashes into
Earth, I think it won't remember because if Jaylen Brown is the only way it gets done, I don't think the Celtics are going to be willing to give up Jaylen Brown because this is from Zach Lowe on ESPN's Woj and Lowe special regarding Bradley Beal.
You could flip, like, what are the other teams going to offer, right? Like, Tyler Hero's value for Miami, I think, is a little lower. They're encumbered with first-round picks. Is Boston going to offer Jaylen Brown? I don't think so. To me, there's not much point in giving up one star for another if you're Boston.
See, and that's the thing. It's like, is it an upgrade, one? And then how much of an upgrade is it? And if it isn't an upgrade, then if I'm Jaylen Brown and I continually hear my name being thrown out there by the guy that I play with, knowing that the only way it gets done is if I'm part of that deal, I think I'm holding a grudge.
Are you now mad? Are you like? Do you have to have?
I just know that.
I know that
it's not real. It's just not real. It's not authentic. He'd rather play with somebody else. He'd rather, you know, win a championship with somebody else. Not that, you know, they're all thin-skinned, but I do think this whole, you know, let's build this on our own. Like, we were here first. We were both young. Let's do this together. And again, these are all rumors. This is all imagination land. Nobody's heard directly from Bradley Beal. He has not come out and said, I want to get out of here. He hasn't done that yet. So there's a lot of back channeling going, you know, just to see what would be possible.
Well, I know Lou's worst nightmare was Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum being in Tokyo long enough together that they could come up with some sort of plan where they would say, like, okay, I'm going to finish out this year in Washington, then I'm going to go to this team, and then unless you win a championship or things really turn around for you, then you request a trade or demand a trade and get down there, and then they go form a super team in, like, Miami with Bam Adebayo or something like that. And that's obviously not going to happen because Bradley Beal got sent home a couple weeks ago. So they haven't spent the time together offshore. But they're still communicating. There's like you said, like
tweets.
But
they all do.
They all
but
do.
But doesn't it kind of stink to you a little bit?
Yeah, it all stinks.
No, all of it doesn't stink to me. But I sit there and I'm like, all right. One, I agree with the whole stars for stars. It's just like for like. Okay, this guy. But I don't know if Jaylen Brown hates his environment. I think he probably likes it even more than ever now. And it doesn't seem to me that Bradley Beal hates his environment. He's just attached to Jason Tatum because you think Jason Tatum is the only friend Bradley Beal has?
Probably not.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that he would love to play with. And suddenly, like, I keep it, oh, they're best friends. They're best friends. Really? Like, how do we know they're best friends? Like, is there anything you would do for this guy?
Really?
Christian, the weird thing about it is, like, you go to high school with people who are, what, 2-3 years older than you? Brad Beal's, like, 5 years older than
That's
Jason
my
Tatum.
Point,
he's
Tyler.
They didn't go to high school
together. How are they best friends? They're connected. And everyone is assuming, like, are they hanging out on Thanksgiving? Is Bradley Beal the godfather to Deuce? Like, where is it? Like, where's the connection so strong?
The godfather to Deuce, by the way, is Jaylen Brown.
Get out of here.
Did you know that? Yes, absolutely.
So, then why? Okay.
Some good inside information, Tyler. Holy crap.
Why have you been
good.
Sitting on that for so long?
I know.
I have no idea.
Well, is it really?
I'm pretty sure Jaylen Brown, the godfather, does do a lot of babysitting for Deuce when Jason's out of town or traveling or whatever. So there is some sort of a relationship between those two, but we just don't know if it's the bro relationship that Beal and Tatum have.
How do you handle things? I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
How do you name somebody the godfather to your child but not have a good enough relationship to be able to make a professional basketball rapport work? Like, I just don't understand. Which is why I don't buy any of this narrative of these guys aren't really that tight. These guys don't want to play together. They're not going to work out. I mean, if the guy names him the godfather of his son, you'd think that they could find a way to work this out.
I don't... Tyler, you need to check your facts on that one.
I'm like 90% sure.
Because I'm with you, Fitzy. Someone, if it's not a family member,
right.
And it's a friend, I know for a fact that this person is always going to be in my life. And I will share secrets with him. We will help each other out in difficult situations. And I would damn sure never put him in a position to have to, like, defend himself or, like, to never.
Or to have to awkwardly paint their way out of the corner. To find their way out of the corner I painted them in, which is, hey, you're probably going to get traded for a better basketball player or my buddy from high school. Like, if you're the godfather of somebody's
child. Fight for
him
to stay.
Yeah, no kidding. He should be coming out and on a regular basis saying, I love Jaylen. I love playing with him. He's godfather of my child. The poster boy of Boston sports, little Deuce with the backpack running across court to see dad. Absolutely.
I think the best friend thing has been blown way too much. Like, it's like people are exaggerating that. People are exaggerating the hell out of that.
Are there any players on your team that you're looking forward to learning from in this next month?
Obviously, playing with my big brother. Two guys from the same neighborhood, same high school, going to the Olympics. From St. Louis.
That's different, though.
That's why Tatum's playing poorly.
That's different. Oh, because Bradley
He's
Beal.
Sad that Bradley Beal
should run over there. Find a way to get into the stadium, which doesn't allow anybody. They wear nothing but white, sit down, and at the most difficult time of his situation of a game for Tatum, he should stand up.
Just like Glenn Close did in The Natural in Chicago when Roy Hobbs was slumping and she stands up all sun-kissed and sun-drenched, and then he hits the big home run that breaks the Wrigley Field scoreboard.
I don't believe it at all. I don't believe I don't think they're best friends.
I'm trying to confirm this godfather. I'm pretty sure he said it on All the Smoke when Tatum was on there talking about their relationship with Jaylen, but I have to go back and find it.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Does anybody know the genesis of the whole, like, I don't know if Tatum and Brown really get along as well as we think? Like, what is the genesis of this?
Because it actually came from this very program when Jeff Goodman was on here, and he's like the president of the Tatum fan club. Absolutely loves it, but mentions these guys aren't boys off the court. Like, they don't even have on-court chemistry. If you watch them play, they act like they've never played together before. So it was Goodman saying that, and of course Celtics Nation, the Green Teamers, did not like that.
That's right. So that is where it started.
So wait,
where to blame?
So somebody on a guest on this show,
but an NBA person, an NBA guy,
sure,
not like a just a multi-purpose guy.
It wasn't Phil and Maine or something.
No. This is like, are those guys buddies?
I do. No, they're not buddies. No. They like each other, but they don't hang out off the court. And honestly, they don't hang out off the court. And I don't want to say it's clear watching him on the court because there are plenty of guys. Hey, Glenn knows this better than anybody. Did Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, were they buddies?
No.
No, but they were. Man,
great
they
on the court.
Like they were buddies on the court.
And that's my point. So they're not buddies. They're not friends. But yet, Jaylen Brown is the godfather to Deuce?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Reported. Allegedly. Source.
Anyone on Twitch?
Source.
Twitch, can you help us out with this one? We need to get in touch with Rico.
The texters say I'm right, but we don't want to believe the text line, do we?
No.
I don't even want to take that as confirmation. So I'll keep working on
By
this.
By the end of the show, I want confirmation.
But we do have another Celtics trade, which I believe is currently tied to getting Brad Beal to Boston.
Okay.
And involves your guy, Christian, Marcus Smart.
Are we going to play mystery guest again?
Well, you know it's Marcus Smart and a potential deal, and I'm curious what your thoughts are, because you've been clamoring for he's the guy who has to go for months.
I am good with any deal that involves Marcus Smart.
What do you have against Smart?
Any deal. The only thing is, like, is he going to change the way he approaches a game?
No.
Is he going to be the guy that feels like he has to shoot it 10 times and get his also because he's doing all the dirty work? Or is he going to be legit, I'm a role player, I got to feed everybody else? Otherwise, I want nothing to do with it. I don't think it's possible. I don't care who you bring in. I don't care who he talks to. He's never going to change the way he is. He never has. He never will.
For all your Marcus Smart slander, I'll say what I said in the first hour of the show. If he was on Team USA right now, they wouldn't be playing without a spine.
Okay. Well, I got to get off this subject because something happened over the weekend. So here's what I want to do. Okay. So after every Super Bowl, usually NFL Films or whatever, the local team, their production company, they put together this video. And he goes on to, you know, 16 games to glory, whatever the hell it is.
Three games to glory, yeah.
Whatever, you know what I mean. So what I want to do is I want to play a two-minute clip from the Tampa Bay Bucks. And you're not even going to hear Brady in this. It's Mike Evans. It's, who else is it?
Cameron Bray,
a couple of their players, I think one of their linebackers. And what I want everyone to do is just listen to it, because we're not going to interrupt it at all. It's 2 minutes long. Then I want you to call with your gut reaction. After you hear it, I want to know exactly how you feel. We're going to start with you, Fitzy. So hold on, 617-779-7937. I'm guaranteeing you that this is going to, like, just might as well just pull your spine out and throw it away. It's going to hurt.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're going to need this good song. You're going to need something after you hear this. You're going to need something after you hear this. So again,
why would you do this to me?
I'm telling you because...
I told you I'm having a great day.
Well, I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to ruin everybody's day, because if you're a Patriots fan, I feel like this is the last thing you ever wanted to hear. And you knew it existed, and you knew it was going to happen, but it's almost like now you have a visual and an audio, and it's confirmed. It's confirmed that they were taping in Cincinnati? Yes, it is. So this is a two-minute clip, okay? Now I want to hear your true reaction, because it's Lavonte David, it's Mike Evans, all talking about this pregame speech before the Super Bowl and how it affected them and what it meant to them before they went out and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Now I want to hear what your emotional response is. Is it anger? Is it sadness? 617-779-7937. Here we go.
We typically don't need a pump-up speech to, like, get us going for a game. Like, we're professionals. But I think Tom could sense maybe, like, a little, like, nervous energy in the locker room. And he brought us up and just gave, like, the most impassioned speech I'd ever heard.
Oh, it was like movie-worthy speech by Tom before the game.
Well, he came to me and said, after you finish talking, give me the floor. I'm like, all right, you got it. And he came and he got, like, he didn't even get us fired up. He just sent chills through your body, like.
The intensity, you know, just in his voice
really stood out.
Man, he sounded like an army general. And the way his voice changed and everything, he was just saying, like, this is something that you just never forget.
It's about a legacy of our own names on the back of our jerseys that will be remembered forever.
The theme of the speech was honor. Not just, like, honor for ourselves, honor that we will experience, like, in this brotherhood for the rest of our lives.
And it's not just you that's recognized as a champ, but it's your whole entire family, it's your Gronk. Kids.
Oh, is that
aunts,
who that is?
Your uncles, it's your just whole entire family that's recognized.
That wasn't Arians?
Tell these stories forever. Like, this is why we play the game.
And it's coming from a guy who never gave a speech all year.
I think it was a message that we needed. Gave us a better understanding of how important this game is to us as individuals and as a team.
It was dope hearing it from Tom, from someone that's been through it as many times as he has, and to see just how, like, even though he's been, this is 10-1, you would have thought it was his first one.
I just remember getting chills, looking around, and I feel like everyone will kind of never forget that speech that he had.
When people hear about the speech or like that there was a speech, now it's like, yeah, like, what was he talking about? Like, what was it like? The only people that know what happened there are the ones that were there.
If the world could hear this speech, man, I swear it'll make your outlook on life just change, like the way he was talking.
Wow. So you've heard about the speech.
This sucks.
You've heard about it. You've heard about it. Okay. 617-779-7937. Give me, you're only allowed just anger, sadness, whatever. Your one emotion, what is it after hearing that?
Resignation.
Resignation? Yes. Explain to me.
I am resigned to dealing with the pain and the disappointment caused by hearing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saying that Tom Brady changed their mindset like he did all season with his rousing, stirring, spur-of-the-moment pregame speech about honor. See? Right there. Resignation in that capacity, but also I'm not shocked and dismayed, Christian, because...
Because Cam can do it?
No,
no, I don't
no,
think
because
so.
Gunner can do it. Hey, guys, we're going to go out there and get her done. And, yeah, all right, me and the Chevy and the dog. No, because he's done it before. I forget if it was either before Super Bowl 49 or 51. Brady supposedly gave a similar speech. And it's about honor. It's about respect. It's about your family. Like, that's why Ryan was able to quickly grab that soundbite. He's done it before. Here's the thing.
That's on the field.
No.
That clip is from the field. That's not from the locker room.
There was a whole speech about honor, respect, legacy, family. The fact
so he used the same speech twice.
He did. And that's the thing.
Oh, you're saying that he went to that well twice?
He has delivered.
Gronk's like, this sounds familiar.
I heard this 2 years ago.
He's done this speech before. The thing is, all of the guys in Tampa hadn't been to a Super Bowl. So when whoever it was said in that clip, like, I think Tom could sense that there was some nervous energy in the room. Yeah, because they haven't been there before. He has obviously been there so many times now. He goes literally every other year. They're going to name it after him. Whereas with the Patriots, he'd done it before, saw the way that it worked. So he was able to pull out the Patriots speech and then just tweak it and edit it for the Bucks.
It's our time. It started 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment.
Again,
all
on the
for
field.
This moment.
On.
It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, you're honored. Your kids are honored. Your families are honored.
Let's go!
That was one of
Belichick's
secret microphones in the Super Bowl locker room.
On the field, 100%. On the field speeches. Nobody listens.
It was before Super Bowl 49.
Nobody listens to on. You know how many times we've been in those stupid circles and some dude decides he wants to kind of
eat a W?
Eat a W, right? Nobody listens.
Man, he sounded like an army general. And
now,
the way his voice changed and everything, he was just saying, like, this is something that you just never forget.
It's about a legacy of our own names on the back of our jerseys that will be remembered forever. Oh.
Oh, I'm really? Telling
you.
In
this game, you're honored.
That's the
your
same.
Kids are honored.
It is.
Your
no, it isn't.
Honored.
No, it isn't.
He plagiarized himself.
No, it isn't. The atmosphere inside a locker room, pregame, Super Bowl.
The tape and music
is,
and sweat
no.
And farts
it's very
and
quiet. Yeah. You've been there all day. Everything's longer than it should be. The one emotion I had, if I'm going to be honest.
Okay. About hearing that Brady gave.
When I heard this over the weekend.
Speech. Okay.
When I heard it over the weekend, I was jealous. I was sincerely jealous.
Yeah.
I wasn't resigned, not resignation. I was jealous because somebody else is benefiting from his
greatness.
Just everything. His experience, his knowledge, his ability to read the room, his acceptance of being a leader, his understanding of knowing that that team needed it. Maybe he didn't have it prepared. Maybe he didn't even want to do it, but he recognized what the situation called for. And he didn't just, most guys mumble their way through these things because they're so hopped up on emotion and energy that they don't make any sense. They just keep repeating themselves over and over and over and over again. Like, I can honestly say out of the 13 years in the NFL, that the only pregame speech that ever gave me chills behind up and down my spine.
Hey, these are the games we played for right here. We worked all season to get to this point. Now let's take advantage of it. Let's have some fun and play together.
That's Andy Dalton.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
That's Andy Dalton.
Yay. Okay? Hey, guys, come on.
Doesn't do anything for
Ice
you.
Ice cream for everyone afterwards.
Oh,
yay.
My. So, no, it was Patriots, Carolina. What Super Bowl was that? 38.
Who gave the speech?
Bill.
Did
Bill
really?
Gave the speech.
Whipped it out and just...
And it was... Now, and again, the thing that stood out to me is, like, I think it was Levante Day. I'm not sure who said it, that, you know, Tom had not spoken all year. He didn't do any, you know, rah-rah, get up here with all with the three playoff games on the road where they went to... Where'd they go? Well, obviously, they went to...
First, they went to Washington.
Went to New Orleans. Went to Washington.
Then
they went to
they
New
went
Orleans.
To Washington.
And then they ended in Green Bay.
On the frozen tundra.
So he doesn't speak at all. On any of those games.
On that day, Tom Brady decided a speech would be required to help propel his team to victory.
We win this game, your honor!
It's not the same. It's not
it
the
was
same.
About honor.
See, that...
It was about...
That drives me crazy. Hearing that drives me crazy.
He did his own material.
Oh, stop it.
Now listen. No,
pre-game... I was saying pre-game speeches on the field... are stupid. No one listens.
Devin McCourty does great ones. Matthew
Again,
Slater does great
nobody
ones.
Listens. Nobody listens. That's
really?
Just, no. You're not making, like, I am not going to get jacked up.
It's a dangerous presumption.
I don't know. It's the truth. Guys that walk up and down the sideline and yell and scream at everybody, the get back guys, the let's go guys. Mm. Oh, is the coach walking guys? Those guys? Let's go! Oh, is the coach watching? Hey, you guys, let's never give up. Those guys, I hate those guys.
Well, how many of you want to eat a W tonight?
That guy
that's
is better.
Everyone has
that
Beats
guy is
by
better.
Dre on. That's
that
why.
Guy is better.
Can't hear anything.
The eating the W guy, yeah. You better come up with a really good tagline. The whole Ray Lewis thing that he would do, if you actually get a bird's eye view of that circle, there's probably only like five guys that are like, yeah, man, you keep
you
going, keep going.
For greatness, that means you okay with being mediocre.
This is crap.
There ain't no man in here okay with being just basic.
That's a guy that just wants to hear
ain't
himself
no
speak.
Man in here okay with just being basic?
Because I'm pissed off. For greatness.
Did Ray Lewis just call his teammates a bunch of basic bitches? Hey,
sounds
Ravens.
Like that way to me.
Calling all the Baltimore Ravens, you're basic. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Half of them were terrified of Ray Lewis. Did you ever hear Joe Flacco talk about how during some of Ray Lewis's like histrionics and stomping sideline.
The lion ain't hanging out with zebras.
But during some of these pregame speeches, he literally said like, none of us had any idea what he was talking about.
That is my point.
No idea.
So my point is, again, I've been in a ton of locker rooms, and I would consider a ton of big games, and none of them make sense. It doesn't affect your play in the game. Like you don't run out of the locker room like carrying any of that information with you, and hopefully it translates to your play. But I bring up Bill because it actually translated to the game.
Why'd you guys start so slowly then? There was no score
if
until
you
the,
remember,
end of the second quarter.
I know, but...
don't
but
blame it on me, Chris.
No, that's Fitzy, Coach. If you remember the way the game started, there was almost a fight at midfield. Both teams...
38?
And 38. There was almost a fight at midfield. The captains go out there, but nobody, none of the guys playing, like, wanted to hang out by the sideline. So we all started lingering because it was legit. We wanted to physically fight you. Like, we wanted a fight.
Because
we didn't want a football game. We wanted a fight.
Because that team had been talking a lot of smack
that's
about
it.
You guys. Warren Sapp said Russ Hochstein couldn't do a job. You were going up against arguably one of the best defensive lines in history. So they were going to come in. Peppers and company were going to push you guys around.
And that was part of – that was the thing. Were you in the room?
No, I watched a lot of football.
Were you
I pay
room?
Attention.
But that was exactly what it was. And I remember because nobody was really used to – Bill, it was like basically open the door, go get them, guys. There wasn't like, okay, stop. I need to talk to you.
No days off.
And I feel like that's what you got from Brady. And I think that's why I felt jealous. Like, and then you start looking back at why things happened the way they did.
Sure.
And how what and what the Bucks really, the Bucks got probably the best deal in the history of sports. They paid, they got such a sweetheart deal. $25 million a year for 2 years was the original deal. Like, correct. 50 years for 2 years.
$50 million for
the
2 years.
The value there is, it's like, are you kidding me? He's really worth 50 per year.
What? No, yet, he's worth hundreds to the organization, Christian, because not only did he bring that leadership, not only did he bring the intangibles, he was the de facto general manager this year. He had an incredible year statistically as a quarterback. He had his best games from Thanksgiving all the way through into the Super Bowl, interceptions against the Saints or especially the Packers withstanding. He played his best. But also, now, how about the pro shop? How about the jersey sales? How about the marketing? How about the fact that everyone in Tampa loves football? How about the local sponsorships and deals? How about the fact that now, for at least the time Tom Brady plays there, if not for several years thereafter, you have to respect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an elite NFL franchise that will be consistently competitive and try to make it to the playoffs because Brady has changed the standard.
Yeah, so give me another quarterback that you would get that from. Like, are you getting that? So Aaron Rodgers.
Neil Lomax.
Absolutely not, Fitzy.
Does Aaron Rodgers look like a guy that could, hey, listen, let me say something before we run out there. I need to kind of rally the troops. I need to let them know, like, where my heart is at. No.
Chicken parm, you taste so good. No, he wouldn't be able to do that, too. Who would be able to? Mahomes wouldn't give that speech because he'd be like, hey, everybody, come on, let's go get out there and do it. Yeah, the Muppet Show. I don't know. I legitimately can't think of another quarterback who would be able to deliver. Now, Drew Brees gave great speeches. Right? Did he get the team fired up?
He was a big leader? But he was a big on the field guy, that which to me isn't really, it's the same message over and over again. It's not something that's significant and, you know, to the moment at hand. I don't even know what it was. It's the same thing Ray Lewis did, but it's just a white guy doing it.
Now, I'll tell you somebody who might be able to bring some intangibles to a pregame speech and then something to get you fired up.
Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you got to be unlimited.
Oh, my God.
My skin is crawling at this.
Oh, my God.
No, Christian, when I say that Brady gave a similar speech, it's because I remember it because I watch all of these DVDs, The Three Games to Glory, Do Your Job, 1, 2, 3. I've watched all these things ad nauseum. Like, even the DVDs are now burned out, and there's no magnetic relay or information on the discs. I like the Patriots, and I cared about the Brady Belichick years that much. I'm not clowning on him. I'm not joking around. The respect that I have for Brady has only intensified like it has with everybody else. I'm just saying I've heard it before, but when you start talking about the jealousy, I go from a little bit dead inside to a little more sad inside all over again. You have no idea. You'll never be able to put your finger on, I think, for the average super fan like myself or the other Foxborough freaks, exactly how much he meant to us and how we'll never have anyone nearly like that again. So, of course, it's a little bit of sadness. Of course, it's jealousy. But I'm also resigned because we'll never have it again.
It's
not just you that's recognized as a champ, but it's your whole entire family. It's your kids. It's your aunts. It's your uncles. It's your just whole entire family that's recognized.
Why does it always sound like music. Gronk just took a huge bite of cheese before he started
the
talking?
The music is also,
and it's to be a purpose, to be have passion in my life.
That's it. So wait, before we break, Tyler, I guess you would like to correct yourself on something?
Yes, this is a show of integrity and accuracy, so we'd like to correct the record here. I believe that I had stated that Jaylen Brown was the godfather of Deuce Tatum. That would be inaccurate because that's not true. The truth is that Jason Tatum is actually the godfather of Alec Burks' daughter. Harry Giles is the godfather of Deuce Tatum. And Larry Hughes is Jason's godfather. So a confusing situation with NBA players and godfathers. What I had said is not accurate. Forget it. Delete it from the system. We'll dump that, and it won't be on the podcast.
Nope. There's definitely nobody out there who's going to quote, tweet, and ratio us.
No.
Not in the least.
You know what? I want to do this because you know what? As Tom Brady left, so did every actor that supports the team.
So, wait, have all of our celebrity super fans left the team, too?
They have all left the team. Do you have to read something?
I do. I just want to remind everybody that this hour that's going to end on a sad note because we all miss Tom Brady is brought to you by our friends at Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center. Let's take the first step together at youhaveus.org.
Sorry, so when we come back, I'm going to give you that superstar actor who has basically just said, Leda, I don't need ya. We're going to update you on Deshaun Watson, and we have Aaron Rodgers breaking news with the Green Bay Packers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.